Yeah. Thank you. First, I want to thank Elvi and Nina for the beautiful tradition of creation at their homes for us. And Misha also was shouted that the Lord has to sell and share in a very strong way. Whenever we come together, remember it is so, remember who we are, where we really belong. Even though it's Ephesians all 29, we're connected and lead us right to our place, our home. So I want to give a welcome to the Novi and Nina. We have beautiful children, beautiful parents. And we have relevant religious lady, but not just the shuls and the yeshivas, but homes that were lived in the right way, that those homes would themselves be taken by as a soul. We'll be able to have Tu B'Shvat together over there, Be'ez Hashem.
Amen. Amen.
So I want to talk a little bit about Alei L'Mama Alei. That those words from our book, beautiful song. Nachman is going to learn some. We're going to learn a little bit of Kutmaran tonight, but that's okay. Still want to learn a little Kutmaran, just a shot in Kutmaran. A few sentences. I've been thinking about the Shabbos, and today we have you as I can have our Mishkochas and the Chalei Mladir. We have our Mishkocha. Achnas is the third of my parents, my Hashem. And Achnas is the third is a very, very, very big Indian. It's hard for me a little bit to come down from that. It was just there a short while ago, an hour and a half ago, finished. Rabbi Nachman and other tzaddikim often spoke that how it's odd, it's interesting, because I didn't think Shlomo also. I know there's somebody else that's playing the Shlomo.
Chaim Dov
is playing. Should be able to play usually.
Amen.
That it's such a strange thing, and we all know that it's true. But there are certain mekaymas, there are certain places, and there are certain times, and there are certain people. But whenever you're in that place, everything is growing in that place. Everything is beautiful and growing in that place. And then there are times in life, there are zaman, and wasn't talking about Elam Shana Nefesh, there are times that those times, the kufa, we even have that, well, in the history of Am Yisrael, there are certain kufas of Aliyah a person has in his life. In that place, there's a tremendous tzmicha, he grows. In a certain time in life of tzmicha, of growing, that person otherwise, in other place, in other times, it doesn't go necessarily that way. There are times where I call it tzomech, where everything is tzomech. There are places called Samech, and there are other places in the world, but nothing grows there. Nothing grows there. Not plants, not people. Everything is stuck. Everything remains paralyzed. So Rabbi Nachman in Kufnun Hei. talks about this. Talks about this. Here in this story, he speaks about a number of things. Atzvus, sadness, atzvus, heaviness, laziness. He says, Lamashal, Kshemenichem chita be'eretz taiva. There's a certain place that's a good place. And Kshemenichem chita be'eretz taiva. And when you put a seed, some grain, be'eretz taiva, in that place which is good, which is fertile. Hazai, the godl of its sameach yof. So in that place, the tree, the plants, everything flourishes. Everything grows beautifully in that place. Ve'ino mazik lo shum ruach, le'zikim v'omim, and no matter what kind of winds there are, what kind of weather. Because we just made it through the big blizzard of Tachshanayim Tes. No matter what kind of winds, no matter what kind of weather, storms and thunder and lightning, the plant, the Elon, the plant that grows in that place which is tight, which is good, which is healthy, that plant is not broken by the winds. It's not frightened by the thunder and lightning. Why is that? What's different about that place? But somehow this place has, this ground has, koach hatzameach v'koach hagoyim. It has a koach for things to grow, to give life. There are teachers that are like that. There are people that are like that. If we're Jews, it's because at some point you and I met someone that didn't just teach us some material, but gave us life. No? Or else it's hard to continue. But that we were in a certain place, that we didn't just live in that place, but the place mamash gave us life. There was a certain time in life, and there are other people in Abach that they didn't meet that person, or they didn't hear that Torah. They weren't in such a place. A place that has koach hatzameach and koach hagoyim. Koach hatzameach. Koach tzmicha, growing. Making things happen. Al-Kain, any Muslim or Shundar. Nothing can damage or harm this person. It doesn't mean physically, with this plant, but it means that it's healthy, it's strong, and it can make its way through terrible storms. if you put the seed in a place that is lacking that. It's a wonder to us, why is it that certain Jews have the fortune of being raised in certain families, right? That those parents had somehow this mystery of and that the children who were not home, they grew up in such a way that when things came around in life, it didn't knock them down, it didn't destroy them. And there are other people, they grow up in a home that's missing that koach hagodol, where it's very, very weak. And it could be that they're raised with all the same embellishments, and all the same chumras and halachas and so on. But they didn't grow in such a way that they would be able to survive the storms, the real storms of Tachshanayim Tes, not the kind that are on the weather. The real Ruach Sara, Oysa Devara, that we're living through. So try to imagine the Ishbetzer would speak about this very often. The whole Mishpacha, from the Mershiloach all the way through the generations, the Beis Yaakov and the Yashim Hanukh, the Shais Yosef, all the tzaddikim from our Jim, the Ishbetzer, speak about the life of the seed, of that garin in the earth. So imagine this little seed. And everybody expects this seed to grow into a fantastic apple tree. And there are going to be thousands of people for many, 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 many years that are going to enjoy the pears of this tree. And if we're there with this little garin, with this little seed, so like he's in the ground for one day, and it's mamish cold. And then it comes the morning, it was hard for him to sleep. It was so cold, this little seed in the ground. And then it comes to the morning, and this little seed like looks at himself to see, what did I become? What happened to me? How did I grow? So when he looks at himself, he sees not only hasn't he grown, but that overnight there's like a crack, like in his right shoulder or something, or whatever you call the shoulder of a little seed. But there's a crack over there. It doesn't look so good. And he doesn't understand that another night, and it's cold, and it's the winter, it's freezing. And he had heard stories about how somehow he's going to bring into the world something so beautiful. It's going to become of him, that he's going to make of himself. And he realizes as the days and the nights pass that not only is he not growing, not only is he not developing, but his mom is getting ruined. He's being ruined by his time in the world. He's being made dirty and filthy. He's being broken. And as a result of that, there are some seeds who simply stop davening. Israel just spoke about how, you know, you have certain, sometimes you'll get a grape, and you taste that grape, it's like, I don't want to say like from Gan Eden, because according to one day, we have problems with grapes. But it has a tom from Gan Eden. And then you get another grape, and why is it that there are some that have such a delicious taste and others that don't have a good taste? Why is it? There's a whole malacha with wine, right? Where the grapes are from. It's this interesting thing. So in the Svarim from Ishbetzer says that there's a difference. One of the grapes came from a tree where the seeds during the winter, when they felt they were falling apart, they simply gave up and they stopped davening. They stopped crying, they stopped davening. And even though in the end there were some grapes that came from over the top, the grapes don't have a tongue. They don't have a taste. But then there are others that they had to stop crying, they had to stop davening. And those seeds that were crying, they were davening during the winter, during that long period, they were falling apart. They never were messiahish, they continued to daven. So the Meshulach says, the Bishyakov say that eventually those payers have been valdigi nishmakitam. And those payers are the oiskebaitin of payers. Daven, filled with tefillos. There's a different time. But very, very often, you know, that there are those that simply stop daven. And the winter gets to them in such a way, and they see, not only am I not becoming greater, not only am I not developing into something, but I'm, whatever I was, is falling apart and I'm losing. So what is that magical quality that certain places have that give the seeds the omens and the rotsen, they continue crying about? Who are those people in life that you and I, the zeicher, we come across? that somehow give us that koach, not only what Rabbi Nachman calls the koach hatzameach, the koach to make it through the hard earth, to make it through the hard times and difficult situations. What kind of a place is that? What's the magical ingredient of that place on earth, of those places, of those people, of those times? So let's continue. So Rabbi Nachman says, this is the magical ingredient. It gives a person the ability to go on, to be patient. To be patient with himself and with his own shortcomings and failures. To be able to continue despite it takes so long, so long. Emuna, Hibrina, Koyach HaGodol, Koyach HaTzameach. So Menachem says that Emuna is the magical ingredient. Kamoisha Kosu, he brings a wondrous raya for this. Mesta Malka, he says, Vehi Omein Es Hadasa. But Mordechai raised Hadasa, he Esther. Vehi Omein. Like an amenas, like somebody who's nursing a child. The Omen is Hadassah, that Mordechai gave Hadassah, Esther, the desire and the will to grow. Even though, you know, she was the assignment. And you know that her life was not easy. And even after the whole Purim story ends, her life was not easy. Esther Malka's life was not easy. Esther Karka Oyla. You know what that is, and if you don't, to another time. Her life was not easy. It's also going to get the Tubishat in the Vesta Karka. Everyone, you mark your Vesta, it's a Shanis for different Tubishat after this right now. The Indian of Hadassah, which her name means a plant that has the most wondrous smell, right? He Esther, but that greatness of Esther, of Hadassah, was hidden in her. It was hidden in her. And you and I have within us unbelievable qualities. So how did Esther HaMalka, how did Hadassah, he Esther that was so hidden, how did that come out? How did it grow? How did it develop? So the answer is, the tzaddik is the oymen is Hadassah, he Esther. Oymen is a lashon of what? Emunah. So koydim it means, on the simplest level, is Mordechai believed in her. He believed that Esther, that which is hidden in her, is Shoshana. Shoshana is Yaakov. What's hidden in her is Hadassah. And that she was suffocating in the earth of that world that she was living through, that tumult of Paras and Mordechai. And the Oymen is Hadassah, Lashon Gidl. So Menachem says, Oymen is a Lashon of Gidl, of raising something, of it causing it to grow. K'moish Omer Rabbi says, Zechon Levracha, Emunah is Seyda Zroim. Emunah is Seyda Zroim, Shmar and Shabbos. Each Seyda of Shishas Rim is connected to the part of the Pasuk, and Zroim, as you know, is Emunah. The farmer spend so much time working and preparing himself. He puts the seed in the ground. He doesn't know what's going to be, if Hashem will bring the rain, if there will be enough sunlight, and so on. And he tends to it. And the farmer has belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he believes that the seed will make it through. Okay. Sheyesh lo emuna. Rabbi Nachman says that when a Jew has emuna, shibuchina koyach hagodol v'koyach hatzameach, emuna is the koyach. The oymen is hadasa. When a person has this emuna, shibuchina as koyach hagodol v'koyach hatzameach, as I ain mazik lo shum da. Ain mazik l'shum. They're not like now when we see that there are people that they're so, so fragile. Somebody that's learning and davening and coming to shul, and then we don't see him, he disappears, and what happened to him? You know, whatever. Somebody didn't say, Fred and Tubishvat, so he got so broken, he was so hurt, he could never come to that shul, he could never see anybody again, he had to go someplace to hide. Or a person is nichshol chalil in some aveira, so that he can't bring himself to continue on, he just lies there like the seed, and rots, and gives up hope, and stops davening. Stops learning. But the person has emuna, kara havol, kara hatsameach, ein mazik l'shum. Nothing scares him. That's what Rosh Hashanah Kaddish, that's what his father told him before he was nifta, before the father was nifta. He was a little boy, the Rosh Hashanah. Not to be afraid of anybody. Emuna. When yorim mishum davar. Mishum adam mishum dov. And a person who has this kar havel chesamka chesamer, he's not afraid of any person. He's not afraid of anything. Mespal b'chias keroy, davos b'chias, mesalot salvi, mes davik b'tzadikim. Ke'in esyar mespach mishum inyan shivarim. He's not afraid mishum inyan shivarim. So then. The Nachman says the following. Now, when a person has emunah, now we have identified, where Nachman has identified, that the fertile ground, the earth, that gives the seed, the chizuk, the encouragement to persevere, well, that person that you meet in life, whether it's your wife, whether it's a friend, whether it's a rabbi, that somehow gives you that koyach, that chizuk, to get through the winter, to continue. So we now understand it's because that place is somehow saturated with emunah. And that person in your life is filled with emunah. When a person has that, Rabbi Nachman continues, I'm skipping a little bit, it's a short story, you can look at it from later. Zebuchin is Erech HaPai. Zebuchin is Erech HaPai. And that gives the person the ability to be patient. To have patience. A few hours ago, by the Achmasa Sefer Torah, I was speaking and called my parents. I haven't really been able to really think about what just happened today, and to look at my father's face, my mother's face, having my mother to be able to put the crown onto the Torah. And there's a trait among the many that I'm always amazed with my father. Say, is this midah of Erech HaPai, of patience, that comes from emunah. And I was talking about the director that I gave. I spoke a little bit about the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Ches. The Romans took Rabbi Chanina ben Shadia, and everybody knows the Gemara. They wrapped him in the Sefer Torah, and they set the Sefer Torah on fire, right? His daughter was crying, the Talmidim were there. And the Talmidim, Rav Tosfos says that they heard some sort of a rash, but they didn't know what it was. And the Talmidim asked Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Mata Roya, Rabbi, what do you see? So you remember what did he say? Yes. I see a sparrow. I see letters that are flying. Grilin is often. I see parchment that's being burned. I see a sparrow. I see is the Nisham, of course, of the Sefer Torah. I see is can't be destroyed. The Grilin, the Gilyan is different gears. Gilyan, the parchment, the guf, can be destroyed, can be burned. But the Oisi is a parchas. And I felt that for many of these Jews that came from that chorum, for many of them, the Oisi is a parchas, you know, of their parents, of their of their brothers and sisters, their cousins, their friends, their husbands, their wives, the Aesius of Parthas. Our enemies were not able to destroy the Aesius. The Gvilan is off. Their bodies were burned. Their bodies were destroyed. The Aesius of Parthas. My parents, all those things, I'm sorry, I'm still under the influence. My parents, they should be well now. You know how many years they waited to see that you made a mantle? The cover of the Torah, the mantle. Was that word for English? The cover of the Sefer Torah, the mantle. So we're able to put my grandparents, my uncles, my brother's family, none of them have a grave, none of them have. Do you have any Sefer Torah in our family that has their names, anything? Their names just disappeared. They were wiped out. They were wiped out. And I felt that the Aesius of the Parchais, that they came into the Sefer Torah, they came on the mantle of the Sefer Torah. And I was thinking about how long they were waiting. Longer than Chani Amadl slept, you know that fact. Longer than 70 years, it's already more than 70 years. More than 70 years since that time. Since that was finished, that Indian of 1939 to 1945. It's a long time. So how was it that they continued to grow? And how was it that my sister and I, when we were with them, we wanted to grow? We still do. We haven't given up. Even though we ourselves are not youngsters anymore. And that we ourselves to raise children and to try to raise children who would raise their children to go in the way that our enemies try to destroy us. Because when somebody has amuna, which I always saw as the trademark of my parents, and when someone has amuna is kara harod, kara hatsameh, and that leads to this meeting that's called erchapai, patience. We're living in a very impatient generation. I spoke about a little bit about the Chabur the other day. Everybody's very impatient. Everybody has that right away, everything. Very, very impatient. There's a midah that's called Erech Apayim. Rabbeinu says it. We'll finish in a few minutes. I'm sorry. Erech Apayim, Hainu Masha, Enu Yorim Yishum Donu. Somebody who has this midah of Erech Apayim that is an anath that grows out of Amunah. A person, when something doesn't go right, it doesn't fall apart. Even when he does something that he shouldn't do, it doesn't fall apart. Even if there's some bilbul and some bitl in his avoda that's not going right, I went to my father, there was dancing, so my father's in a wheelchair, it was very hard for him to walk now. First of all, any time that a Talmud Chacham came up to say mouth to my father, he gets up out of the thing, which is a whole lot of life. And I keep on saying, you don't have to get up, he's mindful. And they're telling him, please, sit down. He gets up. And then there was a rikud, and I said to my father, hey, sit down with him. And then he pushes my hand away. And then I give him his cane, and he looks at me like, and I'm doing this record and I'm thinking everything about him, that emuna, the erech apayim, the sarlonis, oise shalom every morning, hashkama, Rabbi Isai, 4:30 hashkama, he gets up 4:30. Goes to sleep around 10:30. Gets up 4:30. Says tillum for 2 hours. Then he begins his Mishnah Yaseida. And he goes to Davin. And afterwards, he learns the whole Medrash Rabbah from the parasha. And afterwards, he learns about the Torah. Not that today was hard for me. Not that today it was below 68 degrees and the sun wasn't out. Oise es shalom. you see this by those Jews, by those survivors, such an evil, merited effort to be soivel, kol masha oivra, everything kol masha oivra. The whole time, I really saying to my father, the last few days, they're predicting a big snowstorm. They're predicting ice, they're predicting snow. So my father says, not good. You want to cancel it, Dad? You want to make it, we'll make it next Sunday. Make it a different day. No, we're making it next Sunday. But there's supposed to be ice, and it's going to be very hard for everybody. My father says, what, you can't walk on ice, you just can't walk in the snow. What's the matter? What's hard to go? Like, you have to know these kind of people. It's nothing. Shum bitl, shum bilbo, the oilam, throughout. Nothing. Erech apayim. Ak oise shalom, zeh b'chin is erech apayim. She'ein shum dove yochel ba'al b'loisai, ki lo ichpas lei shum dove. Lo ichpas lei shum dove, not Channel 4, not NBC, not CBS, not CBS, not any prediction, not any weather reports, and everybody was talking, but it said on this one, first, they said now they're more accurate. He said, this shakron, they don't know what they're talking about. There's not anything. We're going to go, it's going to be fine. And it was. A half hour before, it stopped raining. Such a thing. Because a person, Erech Apayim, when you and I meet those people, when you're in such a place with people like that, and you're in a family like that, and everything is totally with some of this, there's Erech Apayim. The patience that my father had with me, it's unbelievable than ever once in all the years that I was being raised. Ever once, my father never, ever once raised his voice. Ever. I never heard my father raise his voice, ever. I never heard. And when Narish cried different things, it was always with Savlanis. It was never. When is he going to start learning already? When is he going to start davening already? It was never that kind. It was always with Erech Apayim in the womb. Doesn't get depressed, doesn't become lazy. You know how much money is spent on antidepressants in this country? If you hear the number, I'll get your mama's depressed. How much money is spent on antidepressants, anxiety and depression? And the things that are chemicals, of course, and has or language, there's all kinds of things that can cause that. But then it can make it a lot worse, too. See, here we have a seed that's in the ground, and the seed doesn't see that anything is changing so much. Nothing big is happening. But the seed isn't ground. It's filled with emuna. It gives chizik. And the seed sees such a moment. And the seed through that continues to die. And nothing gets in the way of its growing. And it has Arichas Apayim. And now we get to the end of this Torah. But there's one place in the world where all of us want to be right now. In the meantime, we're not. But we all really want to be there. And that, of course, is Eretz Yisrael. And now, Misha Sola, Yishlav Yehav, talk about Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Nachman explains, Da. Erech Apayim totally bears his soul. Erech Apayim is totally bears his soul. What's the most patient place in the world? Now, it could be that you'll say that I've met impatient people. The most patient place in the world, without a question, is Eretz Yisrael. Arichas Adi Eretz Yisrael is unbelievable. Thousands of years she's waiting for her children to come back here. Other countries when there's a war and the first oil is gone, they've taken any other oil that can come. No, they don't care. Whatever. You come here, you work here, it's okay. All the years the Ishmaelim with the different people came to Eretz Yisrael, like the Zohar says, the Akhlev, in particular, was what the Swam say, the Chazal tell us, that Eretz Yisrael never ever would respond to anybody, only to their children. Never. So here we have a mother, Eretz Yisrael, that's waiting for so many years for us to come back. For so many years for us to come back. Dash Erech Apayim, totally Eretz Yisrael. Kisom Zoichem, the beginning of Erech Apayim, therefore, it's Davke in Eretz Yisrael that one can be Zoichem to this Mida Erech Apayim, because the land itself is saturated with Emunah. It says in Pasuk, Eretz Yisrael, the beginning of Emunah. Kamashah Kosev, it says in Tillim, Shchon Eretz Urei Emunah. Dwell in the land in Eretz Yisrael and nurture Urei, nurture faith. Eretz Yisrael has, Eretz Yisrael is suffused with Kodah HaGadol and Kodah HaTzameh. To nurture one's faith is an Eretz Yisrael. As Kodah HaGadol and Kodah HaTzameh. Many rise for this, we have time for it now. Nimtzu She'ikar Avodas Isha Yisraeli Zoich Lai Eretz Yisrael. Shubchinis Amunah, and Eriches Ar. Therefore, Ben Achman ends and he says, V'ikar Gordel Hishtoik Kus V'Islavus Shomayshe Rabbeinu Olav Sholom Shohayi Mislai Eretz Yisrael Kolka Hayirak V'Shvil Mida Zoy Shal Eriches Sapai. The whole reason Mishwin was on fire to come to Eretz Yisrael, all he wanted to be Eretz Yisrael was for this Mida, that there should be Shleimus Nariches Apayim and Amunah. Machmas Rosh Hashanah Eretz Yisrael Zeichel Bechinas Erech Apayim Kamal. He brings a Rai, all the Rais he brings them. I wish you would have prayed it. Therefore he ends and says how much we have to daven. And we see in the davening every day. And by Eretz Yisrael he says, right before Zeh Shekodim Kriya Shema, right before we say Kriya Shema, Kriya Shema Zemun. Right before we say Kriya Shema, Shuhamunah Sayichot, on the Mavakshem, where you only can come me use the heart saying. Heilish on the Mavakshem was God in the Eretz Yisrael. In order to come to Shema Yisrael, Shema Kenu Shema Chod, which means Emunah Shleima, in order to come to Yichud Hashem, we have to David Hashem, where you only can come me use the heart saying. That the Rosh should take us back to Eretz Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael is the Bechina of Erech Apayim. And Erech Apayim is Emunah, Savlonis. And Emunah, Savlonis is Kach HaGodol, Kach HaTzameach. And now in Eretz Yisrael, Hashkedi HaParachas, Hashem, Zarachas, all the trees are starting to grow, life is coming back to Eretz Yisrael. And each and every one of us is filled with that tefillah of Yalechenikom Mi'ezdar Atzayim. And what does the land, and what does this earth tell the sea to give it the ability to continue, to strengthen it with Emunah? This is what we have to tell ourselves and we have to tell our kids. The earth says to the sea, you know, you look at yourself as one little seed. You look at yourself as being nothing. But the truth of the matter is that you're much more than that. Because in the end, if you work hard, and you don't give up hope, and you continue to daven, there are going to be many, many, many apples that are going to come from you. They're going to be children, and grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. And the Jewish people are called Ivrim. Ivrim is a lashon the Chazal say of Ivrei Yam, that we went through the Yam. In other words, we're named after Kriyas Yam Suf, that we were Ivrei Yam, that we are Jews, and Jews have the ability to go through oceans. The Ivrei Yam. Ivrim. And Ivrim are people who are Ivrei Yam. And we all understand that the ocean doesn't only mean the physical ocean of Yam Suf. It means when you're in a Yam of Bilbul, you're in an ocean of Taiva. You're in a place, you're working some office where your mom is drowning in an ocean. We have in each packet an ocean that's threatening mom to drown you. A Yam of tears, a Yam of disappointments, an ocean of disappointments, an ocean of fear. And how do we have the koyach to be over a yam, to be ivriyim? Jew has emunah, and he has karehat sameach, karehavu, he becomes a person with arichas, with erech apam, arichas av, that he has patience to wait through the storm, to wait through that difficult time, to make it through that water, to be able to get through even if he feels he's going to drown, to somehow continue, because he knows that at the end of the day, it's not only me that I'm trying to save. I'm trying to save my children. I'm trying to save my grandchildren. I'm trying to save great-grandchildren that I never met yet. I'm trying to save Jews that I don't even know who they are. I'm trying to save. I'm going to share with you, and I appreciate you being allowing me to go on for so long. I'm tired. Maybe I'm the only one so tired, but I appreciate you. I want to share with you something that I played by Rabbi Kass before in the shul, and not necessarily the third, not a song. There was a call, I don't know if you'll be able to hear it, there was a call that I got this past Thursday. Did any of you see there was a clip that was going around that my father didn't know about? It was in the shul there by Rabbi Kass, they had a clip. My father did this film.
Yeah.
Some of you saw that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My father didn't see it. So he didn't want to see it, didn't see it. Right. But there was, but how it began was that people had heard, had heard from me, and there people that know that, but my father, has the film from his bar mitzvah. And that he was told by his father, before his father was taken to Auschwitz, he was told by my grandfather, who I named after, that you make sure to put on film every day and that you'll survive. My father put on film every day in Mauthausen. We still don't know how he kept the film there. He was the only Jew in the whole place that had it. And people had heard about this, and Rabbi Bender wanted to know if my father could show him the film. My father was a little bit hesitant, a little bit nervous. He doesn't even know. He told you about my tool and what. You want to bring them about it. But then, I read this because I want to show it to some boys. And my father said, okay, sure. He brought them to shul. My father had known that Rabbi Katz had helped him. He said that these two went to Matas. My father knew what was going on. And that there were people, there were some very wonderful people who were taking some pictures. And I made them this little clip. A beautiful fellow made it to clip. We give chizik to people. And my father was not so happy with the whole thing. And I just tried to give him some chizik, and I told him, maybe it'll be easier. It won't reach you. Maybe you'll hear it. I'll try. I'll put it on loud. Let's see if it goes. And my father was up, and I told him that my Bender took it to yeshiva, and that the kids in the yeshiva, they didn't grow up like some of the older ones here that we saw this. That would be good even by that standard, but they don't know Jews anymore. There are very few left. They don't see this. And that somebody was able to take his film, and that there were so many thousands of Jews that were killed by Kiddush Hashem, and someone survived to put my father's film on every day. So they would put it on, they would make circles around each other, and they were watching that the Nazis shouldn't catch them, and if you get caught, you get killed. So I got a call, I got a message on Thursday. I called her up before Shabbos to thank her for taking the time to tell me that, and she said, she's a mishpapa, the Nidek Avril, I think the Nidek goes is her cousin or nephew, Avril Tzinner. And she told me that all the years she was wondering, she asked her father, had you gone to him? And said, there was a yid there that film. There's a yid that film. And she told me when I spoke to her, and I was Shabbos, I called her to thank her for getting in touch. She said to me, "You have no idea." So my father said that that's the way that he lived. That's the only reason that he was able to make it through that gave him the hope to continue going. That every day for a second he was able to put on the Shalyan and Sarayish and to say, Shema Yisrael Shem Hashem Echad, he said, and her father would say, if I knew who that Yid was. And she said, now she told, so now I finally found out who this Jew is. So I brought this play to my father. And my father said, no, okay, so I'm a Jew. How are the children? What's doing with it? But that's part of it. Yeah? It's hard to explain. That's part of it. Well, not misspoke. Just that's what I was saying to you before. That's what we do. That's what we do. It's not the whole thing. We're not making a movie about it. Not making a play. Rabbi Nachman died. Rabbi Nachman died, as you know. Uman, he wanted to be buried over there, yeah. Tamim Kamusim Atzlid, we'll never know. And some things that were said over, they say over. But he wanted to be buried in Uman. How many of you have been to Uman? A lot of the time you have been to Uman. So he wanted to be buried in Uman. And after he died, some years later, the house that he lived in was destroyed. And the place where he had his bed, where he slept, in that place, there was a tree that came up from the ground. A beautiful fruit tree that gives many, many fruits. Etzem Ayer Mazeh come out from that tree. You remember the story in Tanis? Chani Magal was dragging around. He didn't know what happened, but he was little years, and he met somebody that was planting. He went out. When he met somebody who was planting, at the beginning, he met somebody who was planting a tree, a carrot tree, charuvim. And he asked him, what are you planting? Charuvim. He said, how long does it take? He said, it takes 7 years. So this person was already older. He said, do you expect to live that long? He said, no, alma de charuva ishtache. I came into the world and I found charuvim. It was my father planted for me. So my job is to plant for my children. Chorv comes from the word chorv. Ana am charuv ishtachel. I came into the world after the destruction. My father planted for me so that I should be able to continue planting for my children and then for their children. When you and I know that and we believe that, it doesn't mean you have to go through anything like this terrible story that we're discussing. And again, I apologize because I'm so under the goyish of what happened today. So it's either you get it or not, or I keep my wife up all night. So it's her birthday, so I have more money. But 70 years. Am charuv, the world that was destroyed. The Jews were kept on planting. And we are somehow the products of that. You and I have to believe that every time you and I, everything that we do, every word of tefillah, every ishtabas that we have, every feeling of ishtabas that we have to be better Jews, with all the feelings, we don't let ourselves rot in the ground and disappear. We continue on, and we hear that voice of the moon, of Erech HaPaim, we're patient with ourselves, with our children. We wait. We're going to see somehow the oases are going to return in some way, that everything is going to flower, everything's going to blossom, and all of us are going to be desired to come back to see. There'll be that Mayan, that river, that wellspring.